morning, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate you joining us today as we are continuing in our all-in journey. Now, for those of you who may be new, what we've been doing this fall as a church family is we've been exploring some practical ways that all of us could take a next step in being all-in. Not only all-in in our individual faith journey, but specifically, how can we be all-in with this church family that we belong to? And during the month of October, our focus has been on serving, going all-in with serving. And so last week, if you were here, you know we gave you an opportunity, let you out early so you could meet some of our local partners, get some information, maybe sign up and serve and volunteer with some of these amazing organizations that do such good work in our community. And now we're going to kind of shift gears and talk specifically about serving within the church family. You know, we've been focusing all year on this idea of belong, that the church is not just a place I go to on Sunday. It's not just an organization that I'm a part of, but the church is designed to be a family to which we all get to belong. And so one of the best ways to belong in the family is to serve in the family. In fact, the Bible says serving within the church family is a priority for us in our faith journey. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people," right? Everybody. But then look at what he says, "especially those who belong to the family of believers." In other words, Paul's saying we need to be ready to serve anybody, anywhere, but we need to prioritize serving each other as believers. Now, I just have to tell you, that rubs me the wrong way when I read it, right? Because it feels kind of self-centered. You know, we've been given an outwardly focused command by Jesus to go, to serve, to transform our community through service. And now it sounds like, well, let's just make sure we're okay. Let's all take care of each other. And then if we have time, maybe we can help people outside. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul says serving each other within the family is not about our preference. It's simply about a need to make it a priority. Because great service has to begin at home. And so I want to spend some time this morning focusing on the why behind that. Why serving within the church matters. And to help us do that, we're going to look at two New Testament churches, the church in Jerusalem that we'll read about in Acts chapter 2, and then also the church in the Greek city of Corinth. Now, normally, we just kind of stay in one passage or one chapter, so you don't have to jump around. But today, we're going to be jumping around. We're going to look at Paul's ministry. We're going to look at these two churches. So we're going to start in Acts 2, and you can start there, but we are going to be jumping around. So you're welcome to try to keep up with me, but this may be one of the Sundays. It might be best for you to pull up the message notes on the app. It'll make it a little easier and less stressful for you. But you do whatever you want to do. Four reasons why serving in the church matters. You ready? Number one, serving in the church matters because a healthy church helps my community. A healthy church helps my community. The best, most effective way for us as a church to focus outwardly is to be healthy inwardly. Right, it's kind of like when you're flying commercial. How many of you ever flown on a commercial flight with a commercial airline? Yeah, many of you. And you all know that at some point between the time you board and the time you take off, you're going to be given a safety briefing by the flight attendants. They're going to show you how to buckle and unbuckle your seatbelt because Lord knows we don't know how to do that. They're going to show you where to find your life jacket, even though we're not flying anywhere near the ocean. But at some point, they're going to tell you, in the rare case, if we are to lose cabin pressure, something's going to drop down from the ceiling. What drops down from the ceiling? Shout it out. Oxygen mask, right? And then they tell you, if that happens, before you put on your oxygen mask, make sure you help everybody around you get on their oxygen mask, right? Wrong. No, what do they tell you to do? Put on yours first, then you can help everybody else. And I just got to tell you, that sounds selfish to me. That's like, I'm going to take care of me, and then if I have any time left over, I might save you. Why do they tell you that? Because you can't help other people if you're unconscious from hypoxia, right? And we can't help and serve our community unless we are healthy as a church. There's a great example of this in the very first church, the church in Jerusalem that we read about in Acts chapter 2. Now remember, this is shortly after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, his return to heaven. He tells his followers, which are the 11 remaining disciples and about 110, 105 other people that have been following Jesus. So he tells his little group of 120 followers, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go back to your homes. Stay in Jerusalem and I will send the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide and direct you the way I have been when I was physically here. And so they do that. And then, of course, you have that miraculous day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit falls like tongues of fire. It fills the believers with the Spirit. They go out into the streets of Jerusalem. They share the story of Jesus. And miraculously, people are hearing about Jesus in their own language, even though the people that are talking about Jesus don't even know how to speak that language. And then Peter jumps up and preaches to the crowd. And on that one day, 3,000 people give their life to Jesus and join this first church. So this first church goes from 120 people to 3,120 people, a true mega church, right? That is a big church, but compared to the total population of Jerusalem, it's just a drop in a bucket. Jerusalem, maybe 100,000 people, and you got a church of 3,000 people. Not a lot they can do to transform and really change their community. So what do? They focus on serving each other. You read in the book of Acts that they sold possessions, they brought money. They said no one in the church had a single need. That is remarkable. And because of that, because they focused on being healthy as a church family, notice what happens. Acts 2, beginning with verse 46. It said, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, other 97,000 people. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The reason they found favor with everybody else in Jerusalem is because they were making a positive impact in the city of Jerusalem. And the way they made a positive impact in the city of Jerusalem is by the way they lived and served each other in the church family. Same thing is true for us at Cedar Creek here today. The better we are at serving each other, the more effective and lasting impact we can have on our communities. You know, over the last 32, almost 33 years now that Cedar Creek Church has been in existence, we have a reputation in this community. We've gained a reputation in this community. Actually, we're known for two things. One, we're known as the church that'll let anybody go to church there. Right? This is the church where it's okay to not be okay. This is the church where you don't have to pretend to have it all together and paint on a smile, right? This is the church where we just recognize we are all broken people living in a broken world who desperately need a Savior. This is the church that is all about authentic connections, not fake, surfacey connections. So that's one of our reputations. But we also have a second reputation in our community, and this is that Cedar Creek is the church that cares about and serves the needs of people in the community, whether they go to church, this church, or any other church. This is the church that has canceled Sunday morning services so the congregation could go out and serve on Sunday morning in our community. This is the church that, in order to celebrate its 30th birthday, gave two $30,000 gifts to organizations in our community who are making a positive impact. Right? This is the church family who was willing to step up and provide a new home for a lady in our community who'd never come to church here, and 99% of the people at the church have never met and don't know her, and yet were willing to serve and provide a home because hers got burned down during the hurricane. I'm telling you those things not to brag. This isn't about pat ourselves on the back. Aren't we a wonderful church? I'm telling you that so that you'll know the reason we're that kind of church. It's because those who came before us over the last 32 years were willing to step up and serve to build a healthy, strong church that could do that kind of stuff. But now it's our turn. It's our turn to put on our oxygen mask and make sure that Cedar Creek Church continues to be a strong, healthy church that can impact our community in the name of Jesus and share the gospel message of hope. Serving in the church matters because a healthy church can help my community. Number two, the second reason serving in the church matters is because it prepares me for what's next. As an individual Christ follower, serving within my church family prepares me for what God has next. Serving in here prepares me to serve out there. Makes sense when you think about it, right? The best place to practice something new, the best place to try something you've never done before, is with the people who love you, the people, that safe, loving environment of a family. That's the best place to develop skills. For some random reason, I remember this. It happened about 1,000 years ago when I was in middle school. You know, it's weird how you remember some things and other things you don't remember. Well, one of the things I remember from my middle school years is I got to go to Disney World with one of my middle school groups. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but when I was in middle school, I was a member of the school safety patrol. Anybody remember that, you old people? You had like a hard hat and the reflective vest and you had a badge and you got to go stand out and help people cross. They don't do that anymore. I'm not sure why, other than the fact that it's probably not a good idea to let children direct traffic. That's probably why they don't do it. But anyway, because I did it, the reward at the end of the year is we got to go to Disney World. And I don't remember much about Disney World, but I remember on Main Street in Disney World, you know what I'm talking about? There was a magic shop, and I went in that magic shop, and there was a dude that worked in there that was doing magic tricks. He would just walk around in the store doing these three magic tricks, and then he told me that I could buy those three magic tricks and learn to do them myself. And I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I spent all my souvenir money, all my allowance. I bought those three magic tricks, and then when I got home, I was so excited, I kind of locked myself in the room and I practiced those tricks over and over and over. I practiced them in the mirror, and then when I was ready to take my magic show public, where do you think I did it? Do you think I went to my middle school and tried it for the first time on other students? No, you don't try new stuff in middle school. You mess up in middle school, you'll be scarred for life. Some of you are still dealing with stuff from middle school. No, I started doing it for the first time with my family, my parents, my siblings. Because you know what? If you mess up with them, it's okay. It's a safe and loving place. Same thing with serving within the church family. It's a great place to spread your serving wings. It's a great place to develop your serving muscles. And not only is it a safe place, but it is a great place to hone and develop your gifts and skills. Did you know that the majority of singers, professional singers, do you know where they sang for the first time? Church, right? So the best place to serve, to practice, to get better is within the safe, loving environment of a church family. That's why you hear me say all the time, if you're not serving, find a place and just get in there and serve. So many times we spend a lot of time and energy, you know, taking personality tests and spiritual gift tests. We're trying to figure out just the right place. I got to figure out the exact right place for me to serve. No, the best thing to do to find a long-term place to serve is just serve somewhere. Just serve somewhere. And the people around you will help you either get really good at it or they will help you find another place to serve. Exercising your gifts and talents is way more important than identifying. Serving in the church prepares you for what's next. Think of it this way. The church family is designed to be an incubator, to cultivate great spiritual leaders who God will use to do great things. My favorite example of this is a guy in the New Testament by the name of Timothy. And young Timothy didn't grow up in a church. He didn't come from a church family. His father was a pagan Greek. His mom and his grandmom were devout Jews. But one day, the Apostle Paul comes to little Timmy's town and he preaches the gospel. And Timmy's grandmother and his mother and Timmy all get saved and become part of this church family. Now, Paul must have seen something in little Timmy, who was about 13 or 14 years old at this point, because he takes Timmy with him and makes him a part of his traveling church planting team. And over the years, Timmy served Paul faithfully behind the scenes, right? Taking messages from one church to the next, cleaning up, making sure they had meals. Sometimes he would scribe or write for Paul because Paul had bad eyesight. He was just faithfully serving behind the scenes, until one day Paul gets notified that the church in Ephesus, this very big influential church, is having a crisis. So bad that Paul has to go to deal with it, and he takes young Timothy, who's in his 20s now, with him. And while they're there working on the problem in the church in Ephesus, Paul gets noticed that another church has a crisis, and Paul has to leave Ephesus and go to that church. And guess what he does? He puts little Timothy in charge. He makes this young man the lead pastor of this large, influential church. Why? Because Timmy had learned how to serve, learned how to serve. In fact, look at what Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, beginning with verse 13. Paul says, "Timmy, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." And then look what he says. "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." What's he talking about? What's this good deposit? Yes, the good deposit is the gospel message, but it's also the things that Timothy had learned in all those years serving behind the scenes with Paul. We see that here at Cedar Creek Church fairly regularly, right? Like a guy named Will, who had just works out the site. And he was just volunteering, serving, he and his wife, as a small group leader with our Center Point student ministry. Just serving faithfully. No big dreams, no big plans to do anything greater than just be faithful where he was. And then all of a sudden, God, through a set of events, Will was asked to step up and be the interim director of our Center Point student ministry here at our Banks Mill campus. And over the last couple of years, the interim is gone, and he is now serving as our director of Center Point Student Ministries right here in our church today. Growing that ministry, God is blessing it. Just had a group of students serving in Guatemala. Faithful into little things prepares you to take a next step. Or I think about a young teenager. Yeah. Center Point in the house. I think about a young girl named Savannah, who grew up here in our Center Point student ministry as a high school student. And then she went off to college. And while she was at college, she went on a short-term global mission trip to Zambia in Africa with a team. And while she was there, she met a pastor by the name of Bitwell. And even though Savannah was only like 18 or 19 at that time, God put a vision and a dream and a passion in her heart to start a school in Zambia, Africa. She's not even finished college. She's 19 years old. God said, "This is your calling." And now, today, just a handful of years later, she and her husband, Luke, are serving, and they have started Hands of Hope Africa. There is a school in Zambia with over 300 kids, and they're planting churches in villages all across that region. Why? Because they served faithfully, and it prepared them for what God had next for them. People serving faithfully within the church, that's when God opens doors for them to take an even bigger next step in serving in the kingdom. That's why serving in the church matters. Number three, the third reason serving in the church matters is because it builds unity within the church. Serving together in the church builds unity in the church, right? Most of you know this. If you've ever served as a part of a team, doing like a task, like a community service project. If you've ever been on one of our domestic or global outreach trips where you go and get your hands dirty serving in the kingdom, there's something about serving together that bonds you to those people. It takes you to a deeper level of connection. That same thing is true when you serve within the church. You become part of a team. You begin to recognize that you're part of something bigger, and it creates a sense of unity. It's really interesting. The New Testament church in the city of Corinth was struggling with unity. They were a very divided church because they were a very diverse church. They had people from different religious backgrounds, people that had come out of a Greek pagan background. They had people that had come out of a long history of Jewish background. They had rich, they had poor. They had slaves in the church and slave owners in the church. They had all of this. And that division got worse. It got so bad that Paul tells them it probably would be better for them to stop meeting together as a church, because their meetings are doing more harm than good. That is how disunified the church was. But I love Paul's solution. Paul's solution to their disunity is not to tell them, look, y'all just need to get in a room and work it out and come out united. He doesn't sign them up for cultural sensitivity training seminars. He simply tells them to serve. Just keep serving together. In fact, look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Two things happen when you serve within the church. First, you begin to actually belong to the church. You begin to take a sense of ownership. I don't just go there. I am a part. I am the church, right? And as you begin to do that and you serve and play your part, you begin to hear stories about what God's doing through Cedar Creek Church. You don't think, I'm glad that's what God is doing through them. You're like, I'm a part of that. I am an integral part of something bigger than me. But there's also a second thing that happens when you serve within the church. You begin to appreciate and value the differences in others. You start serving on a team and you go, oh, that's why he has that kind of personality. You know, it gets on my nerves. I can't stand to be around people like that, but now I see why God needs people like that in the kingdom. Or, you know, this person's always worried about the details. Or this person's always just big pie in the sky dreaming and no follow through. When you serve on a team, you begin to see how God uses all the different parts, and you start to say, I'm thankful we got people like that. And we're thankful we got people like you, whatever you is. It brings unity in the church. And here's why that matters. Here's the biggest reason serving in the church matters. Is because it preaches the gospel to others. Serving in the church preaches the gospel to others. Our greatest witness as a church is not the songs we sing or the sermons we preach, but the way we love and serve each other. Not my words, Jesus' words. If you were with us last week, you remember maybe we talked about that Last Supper where Jesus serves the disciples by washing their feet. That beautiful moment where he says, I have set an example for you. Do to each other, serve each other the way that I have served you. It's in that context that he makes this familiar statement, John 13:35. Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There is no greater expression of love than to serve. Love is not an emotion. Love is not just a feeling, a quiver in your liver. Love is a commitment to put the needs of another ahead of your own. And you do that by simple, consistent acts of serving others. One of the ladies who serves as a volunteer receptionist in our office during the week, she told us several years ago that her husband has and continues the whole time they've been married. Every Tuesday, he buys her a dozen red roses. Every week, he does this. Now, I know the wives in here are looking at their husbands going, why can't you be more like that? What's wrong with you? Right? And the guys are sitting in here like, thanks a lot, Philip. Thanks for throwing me under the bus. I'm not doing that to throw anybody under the bus. I'm doing that to help us realize that love is best expressed in simple acts of service done consistently over long periods of time. And that's not just true in your romantic relationships. It's true in your relationship to Jesus. Every time you show up on a Sunday and serve, every time you keep showing up, even when it's raining or when it's inconvenient or the ball game went late, every time you show up to serve faithfully, no matter what area you serve in, you are pointing people to and painting a picture of Jesus. You've heard me say this a million times. You are never more like Jesus than when you are humbly serving others. And I would add to that, you're never a better witness of Jesus than when you're humbly serving within the church family that God has placed you in. And so I want to close our time together this morning with the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul pens this letter in prison in Rome. He's writing to the church at the city of Philippi, a church he loves deeply, a church he has a deep affection for, a church he's been trying to get back and visit for years, and things keep getting in the way. And he's wanting to go there to encourage and just hang out with them, but he's not sure. He don't know if they're going to kill him or they're going to let him go. And so he writes this letter as a way to say, whether I'm able to come or not, this is what I want you to remember, church. And he writes these words in Philippians 1:27. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. That's my passion. That's my desire for this church family that I love and am blessed to be a part of, that we would strive together for the sake of the gospel, serving each other here so that we are strong enough to serve those out there. So let's pray and ask God to help us all take a next step to seeing that happen. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this incredible church family. I thank you for those who came before us from the early days in a daycare center to the chaotic days of explosive growth, for those who just kept showing up and serving. Whether it was waving at people in the parking lot, greeting people with a smile, providing donuts and coffee, passing baskets, serving with the children, rocking babies in a nursery, leading a home group, being a part of the worship team, being a part of the production team, the media team, whatever it is, the faithfulness of those who show up week in and week out to give their lives away for the sake of the kingdom. I thank you, Lord. In your family, there are no little acts of serving. There is no behind the scenes, don't really matter serving. I thank you that we all get to be a link in the chain that leads people to Jesus and the hope of the gospel message. And while we each have a different role to play, not one role is more important than the other. That the person who smiles and waves at somebody in the parking lot, or serves on the security team, or greets, or ushers, or cleans up the bathroom, or whatever it is, it's all just as important to the people who stand on the stage. It's just as important as the person who preaches the gospel message. We are all preaching the gospel by the way we love and serve each other here in the church family. Lord, I know we're all at different places in our journey with you. We're all at different places in our level of belonging to this church family. But I believe we all have a next step. So give us the courage and the clarity to not just think about it and pray about it, but to raise our hand and step up and do it. Call us to serve, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.